Welcome back to our study of Romans. We're in chapter 12, and we left off at verse 2, and I'm going to read it again just to have it fresh on our mind. And do not be conformed to this world, this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
He's not talking about three wills of God. A lot of people read that into that particular verse. In other words, we're going to learn good and acceptable and the complete will of God. But just trying to get by with good, or, you know, what's acceptable to God, and what's acceptable to God is His complete will.
Mm.
And it's good. Okay, so don't try to take any shortcuts out of that. Okay, you got something to say to that?
Well, first of all, that never even occurred to me. I didn't know that was a thing. But second of all, I was just pondering on the fact that so much of this, and we talk about this in many classes, it's a heart issue. It's a matter of the heart. And so not being conformed to this age, well, that requires action, doesn't it? Do not. That's giving you direction, isn't it? It's not passive. It requires action on our part. So we've been given all of these gifts. And aren't we grateful that we can be grafted in? Aren't you grateful for that? I'm grateful that I'm grafted in now. I'm grateful for the Lord's mercy.
You know, you default to the world, to think like the world, to be conformed to the world. That's just the way the human nature is. You're born to think like the world, okay? When you're born again, you're born again. This is spirit, not natural. And so you have to train yourself to think by the spirit rather than by the natural. If you don't govern your mind, And what I mean by that is you guide it, you steer it where it goes, where you want it to go. If you just let your mind run random, it's going to take you the way of the world. I mean, you're going to try to figure everything out by reason and through your senses, okay? And so it's a real discipline not to follow that pattern and to develop a new pattern to where we're led by the Spirit of God. You start listening to what God has to say through the Scriptures or by the Holy Spirit, to where you're thinking differently now than you used to think. Are you with me? You used to think like the world. For instance, you do me wrong, I do you wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what Jesus teaches, is it? He teaches the very opposite. He didn't say, do unto others as they do to you, but as you would have them do to you. Okay? And so, actually, when you look at Matthew chapters 5 through 7, and you look at Jesus' teaching there, what's commonly called the Sermon on the Mount, and the B attitudes, okay? And just practical teaching that Jesus is doing just for daily living. It certainly does not sound like the world thinks, but it's the will of God. And he practiced the will of God. He just didn't teach other people to do it. He did it. He demonstrated. Okay? And so if you don't discipline yourself, you'll always gravitate toward the world. I mean, even though you believe in Jesus, you believe the Word of God's true, but you just don't apply the Word. You think it's for somebody else. Or so often people just read the Bible and think that's history. Well, it's this history. It can be past or it can be present. You understand? We have to read this and look at this as a current Word of God. Anytime I read, I'm reading and listening to what is God saying to me out of the Scripture. Are you with me? What principle am I gleaning? And how can this be applied today in my life? It's not just what happened back then. And people miss this. They just read it and they think of, you know, we want to call the Bible a history book or poetry or whatever. The bottom line is this: God talking. Now, is he saying anything to me? He is if I listen. So I've got to find out what he's saying by subjecting myself to this. That you can't get your mind renewed aside from the Scriptures. It won't happen. And a lot of people try to just be spiritual, and really it's not, I'm not even going to call it spiritual, I'm going to call it more emotional. In other words, they want the emotional service without the substance. And I'm not against emotion like so many accuse me of. I'm just saying build on a foundation. Emotion should be stimulated by the Spirit. You know, let God initiate that. And if God initiates it, you go for it. You with me? I mean, and he will. Don't misunderstand me. I mean, the Lord will initiate emotion. There's a time to praise God. You with me? There's a time to get excited about the things of God, giving thanks to God. And I mean, you cross a Red Sea and you get on the other side, it's in order to beat a tambourine, dance around. I mean, that's a miraculous thing that just occurred. You understand? But that you can't live your life on that emotion thing. You watch people who rely on emotions and it's peaks and valleys. Peaks and valleys. A person that can get high quick can get low quick. And they're always looking for another fix, another fix, another fix. God wants us to walk on an even plane. Just the circumstances are not what's moving you. The Word of God's moving you. The Spirit of God's moving you. You're led by the circumstance. I mean, you're led by the Spirit of God, not by the circumstances. You follow me? So we have to learn to think like God thinks. And you can't do it apart from this. You can't do it. I know his will by reading his will. You can't know the will by guessing. How do you know what I want? I've had people, you know, a lot of times say, well, I thought you wanted that. Well, what made you think that? I gave you no indication that that's what I wanted. The best way to find out what I want is ask me. Hang out with me. You understand? But see, we try to take it on ourselves to make decisions and do things that we think God would like. When God wants us to get our minds renewed to where we think like he does, we're not second guessing, but we actually think like he thinks. You ever worked with anybody that thinks like you think? Boy, it flows good when you do that. I mean, anybody that's working closely with somebody, you need to be thinking alike. Or otherwise, you're working against one another. That's what's going on today. People are not thinking like God, so they're working against God. Like a tug of war. And we get on to this as we get into this a little farther as we go along. With other believers, other Christians, you know, we should be able to work with people. But you're going to have to know the mind of the Lord. And you're going to have to understand that He's the only one that's always right. Go ahead and suck it up. Okay? All right.
For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith.
Now, I want you to think about this. There's a balance here. And balance is not extreme one way and extreme the other way. You understand? I heard a guy say one time, you know, average, you know, getting it in balance, putting one foot in ice water and another one in scalding water, and on the average, you're comfortable. A lot of people try to live their lives from one extreme to another extreme. No, there is that middle of the road, if you will, okay, that'll keep you out of the ditch on either side of the road. Don't think too highly of yourself. That doesn't mean to go around and think, I'm the lowly worm. I'm just a nobody. Well, that's a slap in the face of your Creator. God did not create nobodies. Everybody has purpose. And so there is a balance. Don't think too highly. But on the other hand, you need to understand I'm important to the Lord. Important enough that He has an assignment for me, and I want to fulfill that assignment. It keeps you out of superiority and inferiority. You with me? And so you don't walk around in pride and, you know, think it you're God's gift to humanity and all this type stuff, and everybody ought to just applaud when you walk in the room. You have to realize this. He has given each of us a measure of faith. Now, I've heard people argue over the or a. It's not even in there. God has given us measure of faith. That's what's there. But when you look at measure, it's a limited portion. You know what that means? That means you don't have it all. You know what that means? You need other people. We need to be able to work together. We need one another. Okay? As a matter of fact, if you want to go on reading there.
For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function.
Now, if you've got a King James Version, and I detest that translation, office.
Mm.
There's no, if you look at that Greek definition, there's nothing that resembles office in that definition. It's dealing with a function. Now, is my hand in an office? Or is my nose in an office? Or my arm in an office? No, it has a function. We understand. There's an action that goes with this, not an office. All right? And so, now when you look at the physical body, then everybody knows that that's more than one member. But we don't go around calling it by individual members. We call it a body as a corporate whole, right?
Mm.
So, my body, your body. Jesus' body or the body of Christ. Okay? It's one body. But that one body is comprised of many, many members. Right? I couldn't count the members of my body when you start detailing everything out. Some things are obvious. I mean, you have thumb, finger, hand, arm, leg, foot, this type thing. But you think about all the integral parts of the body that no one ever sees. I mean, these things are covered up. But you need your liver. Believe it or not, even though you've never seen it, or pancreas or whatever, we need every part of the body. As a matter of fact, the parts you don't see are the most critical parts. And see, we've missed that. We think if the guy's out here visible and preaching to thousands, he's the most important person. Well, he couldn't do it. Somebody's not behind the scenes making it happen. And this is where we've missed it. And the guy out here, well, I'm important. Yeah, don't think too highly of yourself. You have a function. You know, there is a measure of faith that you have. You operate in that portion God gave you. And I'm going to tell you what God has gifted you to do. You have the grace to operate in that particular portion. You understand? I mean, you've probably said it or you've heard it said. I don't see how in the world they do that. They have the grace to do it. That's what they're called to do. But yet that person could say, I don't see how in the world you do what you do. Because you don't all have the same thing. We have different gifts, different abilities. Consequently, we have different functions. You understand, my hand does not have the same function of my foot. But they're both needed. They're both extremely important. You understand? And so our problem has been minimizing the importance of members in the body. And I ask people, you know, often, I say, well, which part of your physical body don't you want? Yeah, little finger. Well, let's just cut it off. Let's see if it's important now. You know what it does? Even a little pinky, it will handicap you to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
Any member of the body that's not functioning handicaps you to a degree. Some to a greater degree than others. You follow me? But every member is important. Isn't it interesting that if you mash your finger, that whole body just feels it.
Yeah.
That whole body has compassion on that finger, doesn't it? Yeah, God ordained it that way, and the body of Christ is supposed to be the same way. To where they've worn this out, I feel your pain, you know. But to where we actually are compassionate towards somebody that's going through things. And compassion will move you to try to help someone. But do you have the gift to do it? Maybe your gift may be networking somebody to them who can do it. Right? Well, that networking is important. God's got all this stuff figured out. We're going reading there unless you have something you want to say to mm-hmm. that.
So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another.
All right. I think we're getting the picture here. But here again, I want to go back and put great emphasis on the word office, that do not use that word. It's function. It's function. Because when you start using that word office, you make one more important than the other. Now, I've heard people talk about the office of a prophet, the office of an apostle. There is no such thing. It's the service. It's the function. It's what they're gifted to do. You follow me? Well, that person playing music, you know, he has an important function. A person working the computer has an important function. Why is it we don't call those offices? Because they're not, no more than the others are. They're services. God has put us in a place to render service. We just render different types of service. For instance, right now, I'm teaching. That's my service. But these ladies are recording. They're live streaming. They're over here doing something else. You have a camera going. So there are different functions. But in order to get the whole job done, we need all of these working and harmoniously. Not tug of war, well, I'm better than you, I'm this, I'm more important. No, you have to get that out of your thinking. Jesus is important. Now, what's important to us is doing what he wants us to do, whatever that may be. Okay? Now, the next thing is to realize what you are or are not as far as a member of the body, and don't try to operate in a gift that's not given to you. You don't have the faith to do it. That measure of faith is directly related to what God's called you to do. You with me? I mean, we all are given the faith to believe in Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the ministry, the work of the ministry. As he's laying this out here in the body, we don't all have the same function. Now here again, if you have a King James Version, they add some stuff in here. It's not in the Greek. Okay? And so we're going to try to stick as close as we can to what is actually being said by God, not by men's opinions. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy.
Let us prophesy is not in the Greek.
In proportion to our faith.
Okay. Prophecy. It's understood. Prophesy according to your faith. Prophecy according to faith. Is that what God's called you to do? Then have you heard God? If you've heard God, the faith accompanies, I mean the hearing. Mm-hmm. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
And so prophecy is speaking by divine inspiration. And so if that's your function, the gift, if you will, that God has given to you, then hear and speak out what you hear. That's basically what he said. Don't go beyond that. Stay with the faith. The faith comes by hearing. You know, there's things that the Lord says to me. He'll give me just a small portion. Well, I have faith there. But if I get out here to try to embellish that, I don't have faith. It's just flesh doing that. No, you prophesy according to that faith. Be with me? Always proportionate to what God is leading you to do. And people mess up by going too far out. They get too far off base. They think they need to explain what God says in so many cases. And I've learned over the years, God's pretty intelligent. And he can communicate if we'll listen. And I've also learned that everybody's not as stupid as we think they are. I've had people to tell me, well, kids, you know, a two-year-old or three-year-old, they can't learn. They probably learn more than you because they're absorbing. They're listening to it and they're absorbing. And it's amazing what they can tell you. You think they're not paying attention, but a few hours later, they can tell you, where'd you hear that? So don't sell them down the river. As a matter of fact, everything you have now, you have when you were born. You just develop some things. You follow me? A baby comes equipped. but it just grows and develops. It's the same way in the body of Christ. We come equipped, but we grow and develop and become more proficient in the things that God's called us to do. Okay? So, we prophesy in proportion to our faith, not beyond it. Okay? If that happens to be. The grace, and here again, grace, if you look at it, is dealing with gift, charis. It's dealing with gift, okay? And so it's according to the gift that we have. What does that mean? It was given to us. It was given to us according to what's given to you, okay?
For ministry, let us use it in our ministering.
Now here again, all it says is, or ministry, ministering.
Mm.
That's what the Greek says. Ministering, minister. If the grace given to you is to serve, serve. It didn't say wait on ministry. You serve. How do I serve? Well, you shouldn't have to be told everything. When you see a need that you can meet, just meet the need. You with? If somebody's, you know, trying to carry three bags of groceries and they have two arms, it doesn't take a mental giant to figure they need help. And so you can just carry the other. What are you doing? You're just serving the other person. I tried to give you a visual on that. You understand? But it's when you see someone, there's something that can be done that you have the gifting, the grace, the ability to do that, then do it. Don't wait for somebody to tell you to do it. That's why they put weight in there, I guess. I don't know why they put it in there. That wouldn't even make sense. No, is the grace God's given you to serve? Then serve. Is the grace God's given you to prophesy? Prophesy. But be sure you do it in accordance to what you've heard. You follow me? Okay.
He who teaches in teaching.
Yep. Same thing. Is your grace teach? Then teach. You teach. You don't make a big deal out of it. You just do what God has called you to do. And the call of God is that the grace that's on you will help identify. If you're trying to do something that is frustrating you and wearing you out, that's not your gift. You know, I've run into this and Howard used to laugh at me over this, but I'll be very vague with this, but like a particular setting where a person wanted to sing, but the person couldn't sing. And when they'd try to stand up to sing, they would get emotionally distraught and just start crying instead of singing. Well, guess what? You're operating out of your grace. And so you can alleviate a lot of heartache for yourself and the people having to listen. Just by staying in your grace, your gifting. You follow me? And, you know, and just like the thing with teaching, is that your grace? Then teach. If it's not your grace, then let that grace teach. Don't try to do what God has not given you the grace to do. You with me? When the grace is there, you can do it. But you still have to develop. Don't misunderstand me. You still study. Teachers can't just teach. They have to have a subject. Where do you get the subject? Just go searching through a book or go on the internet? No, you listen to the Spirit of God. You teach what God's given you. You follow me? Okay.
He who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness.
It's pretty basic when you look at all this. You just follow all this along, whether prophecy or ministry or teaching or exhorting or giving. He says, do that with simplicity. Do it sincerely.
Mm.
Don't be hypocritical in all this. Don't do it for show. A lot of people give out a show. See, Jesus told the religious people of his day, you got your reward. You want to sound the trumpet, you want to gather the crowd and let them know that you're giving. Well, that's your reward. Don't look for anything on the other side. You got it here. No, just anything we're doing, we should do it in simplicity and sincerity, doing it out of the heart, not with the intent of getting recognition for anything. I don't care if it's prophesying, teaching, or giving. It doesn't matter. We're not looking for recognition. We're looking to serve God. Okay? And so giving is one of the ways of serving God. And I will tell you this. Howard, my brother, was a giver. That man was a giver. He loved to give. And it wasn't because he was a millionaire or anything. He loved to give. And it thrilled him to be able to help people. But he had the grace to do it and never begrudge it. He loved it. And he didn't look for thank you. You understand? That's what I mean in simplicity. That's just what he's doing. To him, giving was just like sitting down eating a meal or something. It's just something you do. It's just a way of life because that grace was there. Okay? Now, the other thing he talks about, and a lot of people don't like that one, ruling. You do it with diligence. Listen, if God's called you to oversee, then oversee. It, actually, in Acts 20:28, I believe it is, where Paul's meeting with the elders of Ephesus, he says, take the oversight, feed the flock of God, and then you take the oversight. Don't ask for it. God gave it to you, so you don't ask people, is this okay with you? If I do this, is this okay with you? What did God say? If God has given you a directive, you don't ask anybody. You follow the directive of God and you let the chips fall where they may. Okay? But you do that with diligence with God. Now, you do it with a humble heart toward God, not lording over people. God has not called any of us to lord over or to be dictatorial. Actually, if you look at that word, it's to preside over. Like a person presides over a meeting. The chair of that meeting is ruling over that meeting. He's presiding over that meeting. Okay? And there are people who just have that particular grace, that gift, that they see the whole picture. And actually, if you look at oversight, it's a compound word, epi being above, and then scopus being sight. And so he has a sight above. In other words, he can see things that others aren't seeing. And when God puts you in that position, there's a grace there, and the Spirit of God will be revealing things to you. You'll have the vision that God wants for that thing. But you be diligent. Don't be slack. A good example of this is Saul, King Saul, first king of Israel. God set that man in that position. And then Samuel came to him and God sent him on a mission. I want you to go utterly destroy the Amalekites who opposed Israel coming out. And I also want you to destroy their animals as well. Everything that's breathing, you destroy it. So Saul, as the overseer of the nation, the ruler of the nation, goes out, but what does he do? He thinks he has a better idea than God because the people influenced him. not to obey God. No, you be diligent in carrying out the mandate of God if nobody likes you. You be diligent in carrying out the mandate of God. But make sure that you're carrying out the mandate of God, not just doing things your way. Well, I think it ought to be like this, and I think it ought to be like that. This is not about what people think, not what you think, but not what anyone else thinks. It's about doing what God wants done. And God sets the oversight to where he can get accomplished what he wants to accomplish. That's the whole purpose of that position, is to get accomplished what God wants to accomplish. And everything has to have a leader for it to function properly. You can't have mob rule. You understand? And so God gives a person the grace. And I'm going to tell you, if you've ever supervised people, if you've been in a position of supervision, or if you've ever worked, you know, with any type of oversight, you'll find that you need a grace.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are tough.
Mm-hmm.
They are tough. And so you have to seek the counsel of God to know how to walk in and out among the people. That's what Solomon asked for, wisdom. I don't know how to walk in and out among the people. I can't tell you how many times I've prayed to the Lord. I want the wisdom to know how to walk in and out among people. How to conduct myself. When to say, what to say, when not to say. You understand? Then you keep yourself out of the picture into where you actually are given the counsel of God. You actually are ruling as that representative of God, not dictatorial. And there's a world of difference. Okay? God has people to preside over various things. Every nation needs a ruler. Every family needs a head, a ruler. Every organization needs a ruler, a head. But it needs one with the grace, one that's gifted. If you don't have that grace, what you'll find too often is just dictators. You do this, you do it. Ruling, cruel, mean-spirited, hateful to the employees, and this type thing. That's not God's way. That's not his way at all. But he does ordain these various positions of oversight. He does ordain that. Okay? And so even in authorities, your civil authorities, they're ruling over evil. Supposed to be.
Mm.
Okay? They're not a threat to the righteous man if they're obeying God. But when you put people in position that don't have the grace, what are they going to do? They're going to go in the wrong direction. It's going to be all about them. When God sets a person to rule over something, that person is doing, that should be, if they follow the Spirit of God, will be doing what's in the best interest of the whole, not in what's in their personal interest. But what's in the best interest of this corporation, this church, this nation, state, whatever. You follow me? And so, ruling is not a bad thing. Did you tell me my time was up? Okay, I'll stop. Did I go over, Kim? Okay. Sorry about that. I got on a roll and having a difficulty stopping there, okay? We'll pick back up there, okay, with that body. Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed, you enlarge our territory, your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us, you make your face to shine upon us, you're gracious unto us, you lift up your countenance upon us, and you give us peace. The Lord, we invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you be before you. Amen.
Amen.